Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Chris Pringle, and I am very, very excited to be bringing this message to you at your C3 church where you're gathered today. And this message has actually been bubbling in my heart since I started to meditate on these scriptures and on this message in February this year when we were still over in the States. And first of all, I want to say hello from the other side of COVID, Christmas, New Year. We've been through Corona, Delta, Armadron. I don't know what that is. I think it's one of the flus. Masks, jabs or no jabs, boosters or not, isolation, lockdowns, online church, 1,000 Zooms and FaceTimes and home deliveries, Amazon packages, woo, online shopping, grey hair roots and home renovations. I don't know where you're at in all this, but in the midst of that, we celebrated 50 years of marriage in isolation, Pastor Phil and I. That was pretty cute. Not a restaurant was open, no visitors at homes. It was very weird, but we are planning on celebrating it soon. OS, overseas. So here we are, again, gathered in a room hugging, and I am delighted to be bringing you this message after, oh my goodness, the most amazing transition in Sydney in November last year, the week of the transition. The doors were opened and we were able to have 1,000 people gathered in the auditorium. We had an amazing tree planting moment and off we went. And so there are new trees planted, and they are, every time I come onto the property, I check that the trees are growing and that our legacy is alive and well here on the land with Pastor Alex and Jessen, of course. So, you know, I look at the original trees that were planted out here, all the gums, many years ago. It was a vision to plant trees before we had permission to build. And I can say that a vision takes a very long time to materialize. And if this season of not yet, limited resources, losses, perhaps some heartache, even the unexpected deaths, God rest their souls, of loved ones, has taught us anything, I would say it could be rounded up in one word: wait. Just recently, a few months back now, I was walking between our son Joe's house and ours with our little Charlie Grace granddaughter, and Joe said to me, there's a brand new walk thing on that very important crossing where cars whiz by. Mum, even if the little walking man says go, look in the opposite direction, because you're Aussie, look to see those cars, because some of them don't realise it's a new crossing and they zoom past. So I did just that. I got to the crossing, I had Charlie in the stroller, I pushed the little button, and in a very curt voice it said, wait. Oh, I like that. I said to Charlie, let's listen to that again, wait. And then sure enough, I waited until the little man walking across, and I knew that in the natural, it was actually safe and legal for me to pass. But I looked to my left, and sure enough, this little sports car, woo, went whistling by. Lord, I had precious cargo. I had Charlie in that pram. Imagine if I just walked out. Oh my gosh, I'd be dead, Nana, Nan. Forget about everything. So, wait. His advice was good. Let me just say this. This message is called Wait and See. Wait and See. It's a positive thing, not, oh, you wait and see. Nothing's going to happen. No, this is a positive message. Wait and see. And so wait is not a no. It's a not yet. Wait is not a, oh, you're not fit for the task, kiddo. It's more like a protection. Wait. There you go, like I did for that car. I let it whiz by, then I checked, and quickly crossed the road. So even when the light, when you think it says walk, check both ways. Did you get that one? Good. So in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, is a very well-known scripture, but I love it because it is really the heartbeat of this message. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising towards the sun. That word wait comes from a Greek word called kava, Q-A-V-A-H. I don't know whether it's kava or kava. I'll just say kava. It means to actively wait with anticipation. Kawa. Watching for God to act. It means to bind together, perhaps by twisting, looking patiently for, and waiting on the Lord. Huh, how about that? That's incredible. We could say, those who quaver upon the Lord will renew their strength. I love that. So, girls, gentlemen, ladies, kids, anything that breathes, let's learn to quaver on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now listen, waiting is a proactive word. To bind together with the Lord, there is an exchange of strength, a divine exchange. If we've ever had time to spare, we have had time to spare to wait on the Lord. I don't know about you, but Phil and I have found a new rhythm being together a lot at home and then over after transition, recovering from 42 years of pastoring, and we're in lockdown because different people around us got COVID, including us. We had plenty of time to quaver on the Lord, and we'd go into separate areas of this little Airbnb and just wait on the Lord and feed on his scripture. And I was feeding on this incredible scripture. You know, wait, as I said earlier, when you feel, I feel it's right, but the Lord is saying, perhaps not yet, follow that instinct. Many years ago, Phil felt a calling to Sydney. And on the heels of that desire, me pregnant with Daniel, our second child, we flew off to change the world in Sydney. Here's the thing. We were fruitful. We grew where we worked. We made great friends. Yet Phil had this nagging dispiece that he could not budge. Go back to New Zealand. That was it. No specifics. Not why. Just obey. So when we wait on the Lord, I remember because I was feeding Daniel and Phil was fasting and he said, I cannot get rid of this feeling. We have to go. We have to go back. Go back. Sometimes you feel like you've gone back and you made a big mistake. And that at the time is what we felt. We got home. We sowed Sydney. It was so embarrassing. After a big farewell from our home church, we go back and there we are, you know. And Phil got a posty job. He said, we'll serve in the church. Not only did we sow Sydney, he sowed basically serving in the ministry. Sometimes that weight has power, has pain in it. Not power. Has pain. Joseph in the Old Testament, he had the dream, he had the vision, but there was a big weight in between the dream and the fulfillment. There was pain. And in that weight was his character tested to see whether he would entwine himself with Yahweh, and in our case, with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So we sowed it. We let it die. Phil became a postie. We'll just be Christians. Awesome. Great. Hey, less pressure just being a Christian and serving in the house instead of leading it. So to entwine with Jesus, it's enough. And so we did. We stuck close to Jesus. Psalm 27, verse 14, and the Passion Translation says this. It's one of my scriptures. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Oh, that's hard. That's pretty hard, Lord. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Don't bang, 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 bang. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never, never disappoint you. Well, the story didn't end there, you know. We went out to Littleton. On the second year, Phil went into India on a missions trip. He's flying into Sydney, and you'll never guess what happened. the Lord said, now you can go back. Oh, feels like I bind you, devil. All through 6 weeks in India, while he was sweating in these little villages preaching, he was dreaming of Sydney, and I was home praying and fasting for him in Littleton. We'd moved into a pole house. I was there praying and fast for him. I didn't see thousands of souls in India. I saw one word, enlargement. And I knew it was fulfilled. I had no idea what it was about. So you know what happened. He comes back. I go, no, 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 no. And the Lord's going, yes, 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 yes. At the end of that year, after much counsel and prayer and waiting on God, again, we had the go to go. Wait for the go to go. Wait, and then go. But wait first, and then you'll get it right. And I'm going to tell you why. Here's the amazing thing that we did not know. God sees over there. We're living here, and God sees the future there. And he knows the people we are to be connected with in building the house of God, in our families, in marriage, etc., etc. He knows it. You know that time in Sydney when Daniel was born? Living next door to the house we stayed in was this wonderful family, the Lee family. Margaret and Ron Lee looked after Rebecca while I was in hospital having Daniel for 2 or 3 days. Can you believe this? How talking about being entwined with the Lord. That family loved the Lord deeply, and their grandson is now our pastor here in C3 SYD. God knows. He knew that we had to land in Sydney with nothing, no job, no nothing. I remember he was offered all these, you know, if you come now, you'll get this, this, and this. And then the last call was, if you don't accept this position now, you'll never hear from us again. And that was it. But God, see, in the wait, there was an entwining with the Lord. So who you are connected to is a huge part of our destiny or your destiny. You know that we came to Sydney with one family, the McIntyres, and started at the seed, the bedrock of C3 Church, wasn't called that then, was 13 people in the DY Surf Club. So wait. Wait. Wait to watch. Wait to listen. And then in a minute, wait to see. Actively quava, wait and hear from heaven. God's got all the time on his hands. We don't, but he does. It's time to pause in his presence. This is what happens when we pause in his presence. It's great scripture in Ecclesiastes 10:10 in the Amplified. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen the edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. You know, when we were flowing in the will of God, when we had a few weeks in that surf club, we moved to a Catholic church hall. Boom. Souls just arrived. We don't even know. There was no internet, no iPhones. How people found that place, it was by word of mouth. Come and see. Come and see. Come to this meeting. Oh, it's so full of alive. It's so full of life and alive. The Kelseys came in. The Frenches came in. The Scottish couple, the McFarlands came in. All these families got saved. Young people got saved. Surfies got saved. And on it went. When we were allowed the Holy Spirit to sharpen the axe with the water of his word and the oil of the wait, waiting, to actively quava. We need to wet our axes. And this is why we are here in church every Sunday in the prayer meeting to sharpen our axes, to sharpen our spirits. I love this scripture in Joshua chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. And they commanded the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Leviticus priests, then you shall set out from where you are and follow it. Then it goes, however, there will be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, 2,000 years it seems sometimes. Do not come near it so that you will be able to see the ark and know the way you are to go. Here's the cruncher. for you have not passed this way before. Wait, stay behind the Holy Spirit. I love that. Stay behind, like Joshua did, the ark. And don't run out ahead. I cannot imagine if we'd run out and fully disobeyed the Lord. We would not have started C3 Church. I can't tell you, but terrible things happened in that denomination that we were initially connected with. Thank God many of those people survived and are now members, whom I love deeply, in our movement and in our churches. David knew where the ark of his presence is. When we wait on God, blessing flows. Blessing flows and everything grows. When David heard that at Obed-Edom's house, where the ark was hidden, was blessed, that's when he carried it. And like David, who brought the ark back, let's stay behind the ark. Let's stand in his presence and not get in front of it. And we can do that and hear his voice, his quiet voice of guidance as we wait on the Lord. And not only can we wait, but we are to see. While you're in the wait, that's wait and now and see. While you're in the wait, keep seeing. See what, you may ask. Everything seems to be going backwards. But listen, you haven't been past this way before. So wait a minute. Don't panic. Look up to God. What's the use? I hear some of you say, what's the use in dreaming again? I know that feeling, and I'll tell you what, it's a faith killer. It's a faith killer. You know, a few weeks ago, I'm being completely honest here, we were discussing our new global role, travel, housing, visas, responsibilities, looking at the incredible itinerary that's coming up. Oh, I was sitting in the lounge with Phil, and a big blob of uncertainty and fear just came over me. I said to Phil, I'm just going upstairs a bit early for bed. And I lay there in this state of mind with everything going like a hurricane. And you know what I did? Oh, I switched on the light and I said, this is ridiculous. And as I sat up in bed, these words came into my spirit. Or actually, it was typed across my mind first. Against hope, Abraham believed God. I'm like, where's that? Right. So I got out my Bible right by my bed with that light switched on. And you know what I did? I switched on my faith. I switched on my seeing faith. Like, you can let it go. You can stop dreaming. Faith, you know, unbelief just comes uninvited, right? Fear and anxiety. Faith, you have to switch it on. It's like a muscle. You have to switch it on. You know, you want to change, you have to do things. You have to be actively involved in that changing. So I read it, Romans 4, 18 to 21. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. That was it. I switched on my faith. And you know, I used to be a worship leader, so I began to sing. Against all hope, I believe, against all hope, I believe. We have the visa, we have provision, we have this, we have that, we have more grandbabies. Oh, hallelujah. Against hope, I believe. Against the odds, that's another translation. Against the odds, I believe. It's time to fan into flame. And so we all lose hope. I'm no faith prophet at all, but we need to switch it on. We need a little kickstart sometimes. Maybe this is it. The best kickstart I know is God's word. Hebrews 11, 1. Now. Turn to someone and say, now. Right now. Faith is the substance of a thing hoped for. The evidence of a thing not yet seen. Do you know what I did? I drew a picture. I drew a picture of many, many things that we are believing for in our future. In my diary. So I've got the picture. I've done it before. I was to remind myself. We have to remind. Sometimes we forget the things we should remember and remember the things we should forget. Faith helps us to clear away that doubt and anxiety so that we can begin to see in the unseen. Let's not forget Galatians 6:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, woo, we will reap a harvest of blessing. If we don't give up, woo, if we don't give up, never give up. What do you see? Don't give up. Abraham nearly lost all hope, but do you know what he did? Against all hope and the odds, Abraham believed. He had impossible natural circumstances. You know what God asked him to do? Abraham, step out of the tent. Step out. Look up. See those stars? They're your descendants. Faith was birthed in his heart. I don't know what happened. He had a renewal in his physical body. Sarah too, they conceived that baby and they had Isaac and called him Laughter. Never give up. Now, what do you see? Wait on the Lord and see. Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion says this, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Oh, friends, the word of God, let it come alive and sizzle in your spirit. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. What do you dream or think of? Noeo is to dream, to conceive. What are you conceiving in your spirit? When Abraham switched on faith, when that night I sat up in bed and it was like, anxiety, be gone, I saw the future. It was very clear. I'm not in it yet. How I'm going to be. I know, it's a promise. Now faith is the substance of a thing hoped for, the evidence of a thing not yet seen. So God is good. Your imagination is powerful. Wait, quava, and see. Noeo. Tie your imagination wagon to God's word and see what happens. Yee-haw! You'll go in the right direction. The Holy Spirit will guide you. I often have, as I've said, have to pull myself up when I start sliding down. Will it ever happen road? Don't go down there. Go to that. There's two forks in the road. It'll never happen road and all things are possible road. Go right. Go down that all things are possible road with God's word. So in closing, in the wait, actively choose your voice. God's word is your best voice to speak, read and believe. And in the sea, in the seeing, in the noeo, actively paint the picture you want to see in the here and now so that it can materialize in the then, in the future. You ready? Let's pray. Lord, we wait for you and we see the vision of our future. We hold hands together across our congregations with your promises, your sacred words in our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us for all that you have for us to do and be in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.